I'm Samantha Bove, and this is She's Too Much. This show is for the woman who's been told that she dreams too much, talks too much, cares too much, thinks too much, feels too much, needs too much. And I say it's about damn time that we are even more, because that thing you think makes you too much is the exact thing the world needs more of. So the past 2 weeks, I've been super sick. I am just recovering from the flu. The week before this week, I threw my back out, which yes, you can do that in your 20s. And so pretty much for the past 2 weeks, I've been bedridden, and my godsend of a partner has been helping and entertaining and singing me songs and cooking and watching me as I quite honestly have spiraled and gone to some pretty dark places of frustration of being bedridden as somebody who likes to create and do and see and be seen. It's been a challenge. And the other day he looks at me as I was saying all of these things that may be the reason why I'm sick and in bed now for the second week, and these lessons that I'm trying to extract while I'm in the mess of things, which my wiser self knows, never try to find the message while you're in the mess. You're way too close to it. But anyways, I'm human and I'm trying to make meaning of why I'm sick. And he looks at me and he says, "What if you're just sick?" And it was as if somebody told me that the ground was really the sky, that birds were dogs, and that I was a man. My brain almost short-circuited. And I realized I've spent so long creating beautiful meaning out of hardships in my life, whereas it's become so second nature to find the gift, to find the message, to find the purpose, to find the lesson in every experience of my life, that I have actually become someone who can, without even realizing it, bypass my beingness and bypass my feelings by intellectualizing everything and making everything need to mean something, and sometimes maybe even making things mean more than it needs to be. And in this conversation with him, you know, he reminded me, which, you know, as a partner, I really needed with a strong, grounded masculine, because wow, am I airy, Gemini, air sign, and manifesting generator. He reminded me of my humanness, of you are a spirit, but you are here in a human body, and this human body is susceptible to illness and to sickness and to pain. And that leads me to this episode about toxic femininity. We hear so much in our society about toxic masculinity, about aggression and ego. And while those conversations need to be continued to be had, I also want to flip the spotlight on toxic feminine traits that I've witnessed in myself on my journey to embracing my divine feminine and my divine nurturer and my sensual being and the witch within me and the healer within me and all of these beautiful aspects and archetypes that it means to be a woman, and also the shadow side of what leaning too far into my feminine has actually revealed to me. Because at the end of the day, feminine and masculine, they're just words that represent energies, and these energies live in all of us. Now, the way that we express ourselves predominantly in a more, say, feminine nature, or predominantly in more a masculine nature, can make up what people refer to themselves as, whether it be a female or a male, is really not a part of this conversation. It's what energies you choose to play with and what energies you choose to really feed at any given time, but everybody, it's my belief, has both. Now, if you are somebody who is doing feminine work, working with feminine archetypes, working in healing modalities, reclaiming your sensuality and your sexual expression, connecting with the divine feminine within you, this is going to be a very, very, very helpful episode for you, because I have seen it in my friends, my clients, my peers, and most certainly myself, that when we do this work, sometimes we can lean so far into the feminine that we lose the very sacred structure and discipline and groundedness that we need, that can often come from what can be labeled as masculine energies. So in this episode, I'm going to break down 6 toxic feminine traits that I've witnessed in myself and in the collective. And if you're a person that really resists structure, resists routine, and somebody who just feels like, oh, I can't be consistent, it's boring, I'm too creative for this, you're going to love this. And when you hear these 6 toxic feminine traits, know that this is occurring in all of us at different times. And I'm not going to offer a ton of, say, and as you listen to these, you're going to be wondering, okay, well, how do I fix this? And really my biggest piece of advice here is to just listen and start to observe this in yourself. And you know intuitively how to bring yourself back to balance. And all you have to do is be honest with yourself. So if you're observing trait number 4 in yourself, just observe it and know that you have autonomy and you have the choice to bring yourself back into balance. And if you are looking to really work on what the masculine and what the feminine energies are within yourself and how you can bring a healthy balance to both, then definitely consider joining one of our retreats. Just follow me on Instagram. That's where I announce everything, at samantha.bove. And this is a beautiful place to start in this episode. Okay, so number 1 on the toxic feminine traits, in no specific order, is bypassing the being and the doing by living exclusively in the feelings. So the feminine feels, she feels deeply, she feels big. And I know for myself that oftentimes I'll find myself feeling and also intellectualizing my feelings. And I say intellectualizing my feelings, really think like in the brain of the air, going towards the heavens, taking myself out of my body and into the ether. And feelings as a means of bypassing, doing the work, and also just being. And so this example of being sick, what I realized was, if I just said, okay, I'm sick, what that does is it allows me to have so much more of my energy go from these thoughts in my brain of, why am I sick? What does this mean? What lesson is this? Where am I at in my own evolution? And it can redirect that energy to the healing process, to actually just being, to resting, to sleeping, to just sending myself Reiki, to doing the work that I need to do to actually heal. And yes, feelings are a crucial component of living. To me, it's the juice of life. What is a life without feeling? Feeling deeply, feeling the range, tasting the edges. And we can't just spend all of our time feeling, because oftentimes that can just keep us stuck. And so if you feel stuck in a cycle of trying to heal and feel and heal and feel, but you're not actually creating momentum in your life, it's a sign that you are leaning very into your feminine and need to invite more masculine energy into your life and into your beingness. So what this overemphasizing on the feelings does is it also can just take you out of the present moment and can create worry where there may not need to be any worry. For example, I have a belief that the universe does not teach me lessons through punishing me. Yet, I found myself going in my brain around my current state of sickness and what I'll call cleanse, that why is this happening? Is this just because I had this peak career moment with the Reiki retreat and that my nervous system can't handle all of the success that I'm having? And as I watched myself walk in that direction, all I felt was worry. All I felt was fear. All I felt was disappointment in myself for not being enough or not doing enough. And what that did was take me out of the present moment and create worry where it didn't need to be. And this is a really easy habit to get into, especially if you're doing this type of femininity work where you're really learning how to feel your feelings. And this is really big work. I mean, I had spent years working with a therapist and different somatic coaches to express verbally and also be able to identify in my body where I was feeling things like grief when my dad was in the dying process, or anger through my last relationship. And it's very, very, very important to do this feeling work. And you also have to be really honest with yourself that, you know, do you need to spend 1 month integrating, you know, how you feel after you launched one course? Or can you sit down for a contained period of time, bringing in masculine structure of containment, sit down for 2 hours and write out all of the emotions that you felt after you launched your first course, instead of allowing yourself to be under the radar or off social media for a month or 2 months or 3 months because you say, oh, I just need to feel and integrate it? You get to decide how long you want to give yourself. Now, sometimes you need longer periods of time to feel, and that's okay. But remember, you know what's best. And the point of this is to observe if these feminine qualities are going on the more toxic side of things, and then adjust from there. Okay, number two toxic trait, femininity, can be manipulation. So women can be masterful manipulators because we are so magnetic and we are so smart. We notice everything. And so when I talk about manipulation, I'm not talking about manipulating others. I actually think that women manipulate themselves masterfully all the time to their own detriment, myself included. And I believe that we are incredible at manipulating ourselves out of the things that we really want for ourselves, of course, in an effort to keep ourselves safe. So some examples here is, I had a conversation with a client recently who I'm working with, who is an artist and a singer, and she has a full-time job. And in our first session, most of the time, really what I noticed is that she was blaming her 9-to-5 for not having enough time to pursue her career in art full-time. And so I gave her the exercise to look at her finances, look at how much money she's making, to really paint the picture of the lifestyle that this job is affording her to have while she can not put pressure on her career in art and in music, and get really clear on what those numbers are. And then in her morning gratitude practice, bring a tremendous amount of gratitude to that work for it being available for her, so that she does not have to put an ounce of pressure on her art to make her money, and do that for 2 weeks. She did it for 2 weeks. She came back and she was like, oh my God, I am so grateful for this job. I am so, so, so grateful that it gives me the opportunity to work on my art at night or on the weekends. And if I didn't have it, what would I be doing? Like, wow, this is really amazing. Okay. So the manipulation piece of that is, oh, I'm going to find something in my life to place blame on. And all you do when you place blame on something is you put energy on that, right? So I'm going to redirect my energy to blaming this, right? Even the word, like, oh, I'm just going to be annoyed, frustrated. I feel stuck. I feel trapped. I'm going to put the blame on this. And what that's doing is it's taking energy away from what it is that you really want to do, which is spend all of your free time creating art or whatever that is for you. And I know people listening to this are having the same experience in their job right now. And what you've so masterfully done, because you're a genius, is you have tricked yourself into thinking that something has power over you, which it doesn't. That something has power over your time, over your autonomy. And I promise you, it doesn't. And gratitude is a great, 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 great way to break through manipulation, especially self-manipulation. Another example of this is, I had another client who wanted to launch this program, an amazing program she's been working on for a year. And she kept telling me, oh, I just don't have time to finish the program because I'm working on content and I want to stay consistent. I really want to grow my community so that when I launch the program, you know, I have people to buy from it. But you know what I mean? And I was like, huh, well, they're not going to have anything to buy though if you don't finish the program. She's like, yeah, but content is so important. I'm like, but they're not going to have anything to buy if you don't finish the program. And I broke down what it means to self-manipulate. And I have done this too. We focus on things that our brain says, oh, this is really important. And everybody else says it's really important to create content. So I need to put all of my effort here. When really the most important thing for her to have done is to finish the program so that she has something to offer. Because if she has something to offer to a group of 200 people and 5 people buy it, amazing. If she has nothing to offer to a group of 10,000 people, you make $0 and zero impact. So if you find yourself making elaborate excuses for not doing the thing that you want to do, really question yourself and ask yourself, huh, is this just a pretty little way that I'm manipulating myself out of doing the thing that I really need to do? Number 3, you have an extreme resistance to creating structure. Definitely a toxic feminine trait. You know, solely relying on the universe to provide is a toxic feminine trait. We need structure to house our creative chaos. And this is one that I personally struggle with so much. And one of the best things that you can do for this truly is, well, I'm going to say give 2 pieces of advice here. And I know I said I wasn't going to go too deep into teaching, but I must with this one because these 2 have really helped me. One is getting as much of it out of your hands that doesn't have to do with the creative process as possible. So for example, this podcast, I get to bring my full creative chaos to this podcast and show up. I create my outline, sometimes a light script, sometimes it's a full channel episode where I'm just straight channeling and connecting with source and connecting with you all as a co-collaboration. And I get to fully just be in my, what I believe is mostly my creative feminine. And I get to pass it off to my podcast producer and they do all of the structure. They do all of the masculine stuff that gets it out into the world. Now, what I could benefit from, being totally honest, I'm 40-something episodes in, is batching more of these podcasts. Sometimes I do, but honestly, most of the time you are hearing this 2 days before it hits your ears. What I love about that is that I feel so connected to you. Like, you know, oh, Sam was sick a few days ago. Okay, cool. What's up, girl? Me too. And at the same time, it's really not the most efficient way to do things. And so that leads me to number 2, when it comes to helping you create structure, is timelines. So one of the things that I have some of the most resistance to is creating timelines and creating runways for myself, which could be rather shocking for people to hear, especially past clients, because I'm a business coach and I do this for my clients. I create launch calendars. I create sales strategies. I've been doing this for 6- and 7-figure launches, one-time launches for the past 6 years. And yet it is my least favorite activity to do for myself. And so if you struggle with creating structure for yourself, really, truly relying on a daily timeline for yourself is going to be the most supportive tip that I can give you of just jotting down what you're going to get done for the business for the week and then having flexibility within it. And I think that's the really important thing here is I used to teach like, you know, create this structure. And it was really on the bro-y masculine marketing side of things and like try to stick to it as much as you can. Now what I do instead of like a daily timeline is I just expand it to the week. And I know like, okay, I have to get my one podcast done, which I'm trying to up it to 3 a week. So, you know, pray for me. I have to get this done, that done. I get to do this. I get to do that. And then when I get it done, I have so much flexibility within that. And I bring zero shame to switching things out or bringing a creative project up further in the week if I'm feeling more inspired or whatever it is. And so I create the structure, but then I have complete flexibility within that structure. Okay, that's enough for resistance to structure right now. Moving on to number 4. Number 4, toxic feminine trait. And also, thank you all for bearing with me. I know I'm sniffling and I'm sounding sick, but I am so jazzed by this episode and I can't wait to hear all of your insights on Instagram. Okay, number 4. Waiting on and blaming others. This trait specifically shows up for me when I'm in partnership. So My partner is definitely very rooted in his masculine energy, and he's very decisive and he's very clear and thankfully very patient with me because my decision-making process is much more free-flowing and can take much longer than his. And so, for example, I don't really know what my summer plans are yet, but I know from May to September, I won't be in New York. And right now, I'm just really waiting on divine instruction and want to see where, you know, where life sends me, where I'm called to do good work. And if I was not aware of this toxic feminine trait, which is waiting on and blaming others to make my decisions, I could easily start blaming my partner for not making the decision for me. And I even found myself kind of looking to him to make the decision for me of like, well, what are my summer plans? When really, like, he was very clear on what he wants to do and what he'd like for us to do, but I'm not really sure if that's what I want to do. And yet I'm sitting here almost, right? And I'm not fully going into it because I know this would be the toxic feminine trait, almost waiting on and blaming him for not making the decision for me. But that's not what I want as an empowered individual woman. I want to make my decisions with 2 feet and my whole heart in. And we can do this with all in all sorts of really, really interesting ways. We can blame our parents for why we're not doing things. We can blame friends for why we're not doing things. And we can also wait on people to make their decisions for us to make our decisions. And this is a sign of toxic feminine. When you have a healthy balance and you bring in that masculinity of I'm doing this no matter what people think about it. And honestly, no matter if, you know, you've made your decision or not, this is what I want to do. And this doesn't mean you don't take people to get into consideration, but it does mean that you prioritize what it is that you are desiring and allow people to adjust accordingly around that. That one I am working on big time. Okay, number 5 out of the 6 toxic feminine traits. Number 5 is indecision, baby. So I have an entire episode, and this is one of the most popular episodes on She's Too Much, on indecision, and it's actually episode 2. So if you struggle with indecision and you don't really know what your decision-making process looks like, I definitely recommend heading over to that episode. I'm actually going to be putting out another episode on indecision because I know how hard it is. And indecision and hearing your intuition really go hand in hand. So definitely go head over to episode 2 if you want a little refresher on this. But one of the reasons for indecision when it comes to the feminine is we are indecisive oftentimes because we want it all. We don't just want the fish. We want the fish, but we want it with the sauce that comes on the chicken, with a side of, you know, the sweet potatoes that only comes with the burger. We want a little bit of everything because that's what the feminine is. Like, we are insatiable, and that is the beauty of us. We can create so much. We can experience so much. We can feel so much. And that often leads us to feeling indecisive because we're like, well, what summer plot line do we want? Do we want to be, you know, the traveler girl, or do we want to get the van? Do we want to, you know, be the freelance baddie? Do we want to live the artist life? Do we want to move to New York City? There are so many things that we want. And the reality is that we probably want a little bit of all. We also want to be, you know, the woman on the farm making homemade sourdough bread, but we also want to be the fashionista in Brooklyn. I don't know who says fashionista anymore, but you get my point. There is parts of our personality that lives in everything and everyone and every season, and we want to taste it all. And my mantra as of late, to avoid slipping into the toxic side of indecision, which is never making decisions and allowing my decision-making process of something that could be 1 week bleed into months long of not making a decision, is remembering that there really is no right choice. There is no one right choice. We make a choice and then we make it right because we bring our whole heart to it and we bring our purpose and our meaning to that decision. And the last toxic feminine trait, number 6, is obsession with looks. And this is a big one. And living in Los Angeles, living in New York, holy moly, there's a lot of Botox conversation. There's a lot of Pilates talk. There's a lot of protein intake and hormone balancing and supplements and Ozempic and snail mucilage and slugging and so much conversation about the way that we look. And I am not here to judge. Please trust me. I've had my own fair share of things that I've invested in to improve my looks. And that being said, the more that we think about the way that we look, the more we miss the point. The more that we think about the way that we look, the less that we are actually seeing ourselves and seeing the people around us. And the one thing, one of the many things that really has helped me just care so much less about my nails and about how, you know, perfect my hair looks and about my eczema flare-ups on my face and arms and all of these human things that happen is that I remember that if I'm looking at myself and I'm thinking about my crow's feet or smile lines or eczema rashes or bumps or whatever it is, I am definitely going to be seeing that and saying that subconsciously about the people around me. And then I'm really just missing the point of everything. And we can act like, oh no, we don't judge other people the way that we judge ourselves. But we do. We do, because we all are one. And so if you struggle to have a positive conversation with yourself in the mirror, try to do it for other people too. Do it for your friends. Do it for, you know, the younger women coming up after you. Do it for your future daughters. Do it for your little cousins. Do it for your nieces. And I know it's hard because we live in this society, and I know we're all doing the best that we can. And just notice how much you talk about it, how much it dictates your conversations with your friends, how much of your time spent on social, and how many of the posts you save have to do with the way that you look, because this is absolutely a toxic feminine trait. The way that you look has nothing to do with your heart and to do with the value that you bring to the world. These are separate things. And yes, we're in a human experience, and I'm always going to care about my outfits and want to look, you know, dewy skinned and beautiful and glowy. Like, of course, yes, these are things that we want. These are human desires. And just notice just how much space it's taking up in your life and how much more space and energy you could have flowing into creative projects, into impact, into meaning, and into creating a life that really fulfills you. So these are the 6 toxic feminine traits. And I have a very exciting announcement. I am launching an 8-week group coaching program called The Creative Channel. And the entire purpose of this program is to help you strengthen your own creative channel, because we all are channels for great insights, ideas, beautiful creations, businesses, art, relationships, love, intimacy. And we need to learn how to strengthen that channel and become clear vessels for these ideas, for these missions, for these purposes to flow through us. And through those 8 weeks, I'm going to teach you everything that I think is the most important for you to get started with when it comes to really strengthening those intuitive muscles. I have worked with TEDx speakers and truly renowned, world-renowned Reiki masters, mediums, channels from around the world over the last 6 years. And all I can say is that this work of connecting you to your intuition and becoming a channel for divine insight and divine messages has been the most fulfilling and freeing and liberating work of my entire life. And it would be an honor and a privilege to pass it on to you and a group of women all here for the same mission: to hear themselves deeper, trust themselves more, and to spread more magic. I will see you next Tuesday. If you are interested, just get in touch on Instagram @samantha.bove. All the love. Bye, everybody.